Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow real agent, Darla Lejean. Darla was our first guest on the podcast, and her episode was called Selling Real Estate in a Small Town, and I'm so excited to have her back for the 51st episode of the podcast. So we're going to get into some good stuff. So welcome to the podcast, Darla.
Hey, Jamie. Great to be back.
Awesome. Happy to have you, and I'm so excited. We are sitting here in Iota, Louisiana on your back patio. So if we get some weather, if we get some rain coming through, we're going to just push forward, baby.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. We're sitting out here by her pond. She lives on a big piece of acreage, and we're sitting on her back patio. So I'm excited to get into some really, really good stuff with Darla. So Darla, tell us, I guess, a little bit about your year, right? It's been a year since we've been in the last podcast. So tell us what's changed. Now you're a year into the network here at Real, and tell us a little bit about like what's changed in your world right now.
So Real for me has been a great experience because I love being surrounded by lots of top producing agents. The conversation in the room is just totally different when you're surrounded by people that are doing lots and lots and lots of business.
Love that.
So that's what I love the most. At my other company, I was pretty much the big fish every month.
Right.
And I loved coming into a company where I felt like the small fish again.
Nice.
I loved it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you're still a big fish in my mind, right? You're still closing a lot of transactions. Give us an idea of like volume this last year. How many properties?
58 last year, I think.
So still a very, very nice volume.
Yeah.
And to frame it in, two guys, she sells real estate in a town with only what?
1,200 population.
1,200 people.
Yeah.
So she's selling a lot of real estate every year. I drove by her huge double billboard on I-10 and a major kind of entryway to her town. So yeah, she's doing great things. So I guess tell us what was so important about this last year, and have you grown? Have you been happy with your last year? And give us a little catch up, and then we'll get into some other good stuff.
Yeah, so this is going on my sixth year in real estate, and really, I love everything about real estate. I mean, I love the most about it is being able to give back to my community. Since I was in education before, to me, the community is only as good as its local school system, right?
Yeah.
So we have six schools in the area, five public and one private. And I just really believe that the more I give back, the more important it is to the community and the more they're going to surround me with open arms. And they have.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about that, because on the last podcast, and I want you guys to go back and listen to that first podcast if you want to hear a little bit more of Darla's backstory. But part of that podcast, we talked about changing your identity from a teacher to now a realtor that they should trust with their real estate business in your town. So tell us a little bit about that transition from a teacher for 20 plus years, and tell us a little bit about how you shifted the mindset of the community and what it took to get them to understand that you were now a realtor and not a teacher.
Right. Well, so listen, even though I was in education for 20 years, I actually only taught for 4.
Okay.
Because I never really wanted to be a teacher. I always wanted to be the boss. So my goal was to be the principal. So I got my master's before I actually even started in the classroom, because my goal was to teach as little bit of time as humanly possible, because I just wanted to be in charge, because I just have that personality where I like to lead people. I like to guide people. I like to take charge of people. I don't really like having a boss per se. I never have. So even though I was kind of scared at first that people still saw me as an educator and they may not buy real estate from me, it actually ended up being to my advantage. Because when I go into a home, I can tell right away what needs to be done.
Right.
And people know that I was in education prior. So they kind of see me still as a teacher. So I've just used it to my advantage, where I feel like I'm just teaching them. And it's always suggestions about, you know, if you need to clear off your countertops before pictures, if you need to steam clean your carpets before pictures, those kinds of things. They always see it I present it in such a way as these are suggestions. These are never mandates, but in a teaching kind of way.
Gotcha. You know, so you're wrapping in your history of being a teacher and a leader, but in a great way that you're educating now the community instead of educating kids.
And people also see me closing lots of transactions, so they know it's working. So I think they're more willing to follow my lead because they know it is an effective model because I've proven over and over again that it works.
Gotcha. But let's go back to those early days, though. What kind of things did you do? And I know on the last podcast you talked a little bit about some of that strategy, but just maybe for the sake of the conversation, let's talk about what that you did specifically to change your community's mindset of you now being in your new role as a realtor, right? Billboards. I know there were some things that you had done. You had done some stuff with Facebook. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I think also when I got out of education and into real estate, I realized probably a year and a half into it that I missed teaching so much. I missed teaching and I needed to figure out a way to still teach. So I knew that I'm good at multitasking and that I'm not good at sitting still. Like, this is killing me just sitting right here. So I figured that I'm driving. I'm on the road all the time as a realtor. So why can't I just do live videos from my car as I'm driving? So literally probably 6 days a week, you'll see me in my car going wherever I'm going and teaching people about buying and selling and whatever's the hot topic from my car. So that's my way to still educate people, but from a real estate standpoint.
Gotcha. And yeah, and on the first episode, we talked about the large billboards that you used a year ago, but you're still utilizing those to this day.
Right. So my goal was absolutely, you're right. So I knew everybody knew me as an educator, and I wanted people to now know I was a realtor. And I did not want a single person to ever say to me, I didn't call you because I didn't know you were a realtor.
Right.
So I said, everybody within a 30-mile radius of my house is going to know that I'm a realtor. So how can I do that? So I spent lots of money on billboards, signs, Facebook, Zillow ads, all the things I could think of so that people would never be able to say, I didn't know you were a realtor, because I would be like, well, that's not true.
Right.
You'd have to be living under a rock to not know that I'm a realtor.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And so it worked.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And a lot of people don't necessarily look at billboards as something that's effective these days. But I mean, in your community, that's super effective, because I always say this, in like rural communities, sometimes a billboard on the side of the road is so much more impactful in a small rural location, because there's just not a whole lot of other things around other than, well, now we see Darla's 60-foot sign on I-10, right. Whereas it's kind of sparse and there's not a whole lot going on.
Right.
So I think in rural communities.
Exit. So yeah. I wanted it at my exit, you know, where I love my community and that's where I want to do most of my business.
Right.
So I strategically put it as close to the exit as I possibly could, because that's where people are coming on and off to get Toyota every day.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's awesome. So yeah, I guess let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about taking charge. So a couple of episodes back, Paige, Gary, and I got into some really good stuff as far as taking charge. And we actually used you as a great example of somebody that takes charge in their real estate business and really comes in and is the professional, is mm-hmm. the person that we called it bossy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you even said it yourself, bossy. But you have a great way about getting people to do what they need to do mm-hmm. to get their home prepared to sell. So talk to us a little bit about that mindset of like taking charge and mm-hmm. what that means to you when it comes to your real estate business.
Right. Well, to me, just like you hire any professional, if you go to an attorney or a doctor or anyone, you're expecting them to tell you what to do because you're not the expert in that field, right? So if somebody hires a realtor, it's because they believe that they're the expert in the field, and that's why they're hiring us.
Right.
So to me, I know lots of realtors put a lockbox on the door and a sign in the front yard and call it a day. And to me, that's a disservice. That's an absolute disservice. A monkey can do that.
Right.
Right? Anybody can do that. They're hiring us because we're the experts, and so we are supposed to know what's going to sell a house.
Right.
So I go through and I say, look, I need you to do this, 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 and this, but I always preface it by saying, some of it may hurt your feelings, but I'm very sorry. This is business. This is not personal. If it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry in advance. These are suggestions. They're not mandates. If you want to get your house sold, these are what I suggest that you do. And what I love, probably 99% of the time, people go above and beyond.
Right.
And I love seeing the before and after.
Yeah.
You know, I never see it again, really, because the photographer goes and the seller's usually there with them and gives them the walk around and tells them what to do. And the photographer does what they do. And I see the house in pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm always floored at what they have done in the before and after. It's always amazing.
Yeah.
And I always let them know, I am so proud of you because your house is going to sell because you did an amazing job.
No, for sure. We got some dogs on the back porch today. We're just hanging out, so it's all good. We just having a good time. So I know you describe yourself kind of like as bossy. How would you describe yourself in
assertive?
Okay.
Assertive.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think a lot of realtors can take some value from that, right? And I think that, and we talked about it in that Take Charge episode, and we really dove deep into that topic, but I do feel like a lot of realtors, like you said, will just go out there, slap a lockbox on it, put a sign in the yard, and then you go into it, and the house is just not well prepared at all.
Right.
And there's no professionalism in that at all.
Right.
And like that just kills me because I'm like, it's a great house, and you can see that it's a great house. Like I've been in the business for a long time. I can go in there and see, man, they updated the electrical panel. Mm-hmm. But the house is a mess. Mm-hmm. Or they just put a brand new roof on there.
Right.
But the house is a mess.
Right.
You know, or realtors, even in the photos, I was looking through one the other day, and they took pictures of the house. It was a rainy day. So it was rain everywhere.
Yeah.
It was literally pouring when the photographer took the pictures.
Right.
The second photo was the utility room with a bunch of junk in it. I'm like, what kind of realtor does that? Like,
right.
That's insane.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah. I would just say realtors who are struggling right now, take a good pulse of yourself and a good evaluation of yourself and see if you're actually taking charge. See if you're actually the professional, right?
Right.
Because I mean,
and to me, you're setting the tone. You're going to work as hard as they're going to work, right? And that's what I tell people. Listen, you're going to work your ass off to prepare your house to get it to hit the market, but then I'm going to work myself to death to sell it.
Yeah.
So it's reciprocal.
Yeah.
Right? Plus, you as the seller want to be proud to share your listing with other people.
Yeah.
You want to be proud of that house. That house should look the most amazing it has ever looked.
Yeah.
And for me, 99% of the time it does, you know, and it's reflective of me hiring a professional photographer because I'm not just using my phone.
Right.
Even though I have a great iPhone, it is nothing compared to a professional photographer's pictures and videos.
Yeah. Absolutely. And why realtors still use their phone, it kills me. I mean, I dropped my phone pictures 18 years ago.
Right.
You know, like as soon as the professionalism got past my ability, I hired it out.
Yeah.
So a lot of agents just don't realize that. But absolutely, professional photos are a must on every property. Mm-hmm. I even shoot professional photos on foreclosure properties.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I do.
Right.
So
yeah, listen, I don't care if it's a $45,000 house or a $4 million house. They're getting a professional photographer every time.
Love that. So let's jump into a couple of different things. So I want to dive into really at our core of our podcast, right? We want to help realtors. So what would a realtor who's listening to your success over the last 6 years, because you've sold a ton of real estate in your small community, give a realtor some encouragement and some mindset on like what you do and what's made Darla successful in her business and what makes you and what makes you successful right here in a small community?
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing is absolutely wherever you are, whether it's a large town or a small community, you have to love, really love your community and love the people in it and be willing to give back. So I think that's crucial, right? So I'm part of lots of organizations. I support the sports teams. I support the schools. I can support the community in any way, shape, or form. And I do lots of events throughout the year to give back. We do a huge Easter egg hunt. That's totally free. I do a huge thing at the end of the year for all the educators for the local schools. And that's just not the teachers. That's the janitors, the principals, the everybody affiliated with the schools, the bus drivers. I just believe the more you give back, the more it's going to come back to you. And part of, I mean, Real's motto, which I love, and one of the reasons I joined Real, is that it's be kind, work hard, right? Be kind, work hard is so simple. But if you follow that, everything else is just going to make sense to you.
Right. And what would you say to a realtor that's like, hey, Darla, that makes sense. You're in a small community. You can be everything to your small community. But what would you tell that person who's in a big metropolitan area?
Right.
What would you tell that agent?
I would say within any larger city, there's a small community. There's small communities all around. And so where do you mostly go to church? Where do your kids mostly go to school? Where do the neighbors go to school? Think about those things. What civic organizations are right there? There's all kinds of small things in your local area. So you just got to see the smaller, I guess, the smaller community within the larger community.
Yeah, make it small. You hear a lot of people say that too. Yeah. Like make the community small. And I love that mindset of it too, because I mean, even for me, like I've been in it a long time and I have a lot of experience, but I don't know if I have that small community mindset like you do. And I think that for me, even hearing that, like I even hear it as like, that's something that I need to lean more into in my own business and make it small for my own community, mm-hmm. you know, a certain side of town or a certain school, right. or just be all in with, mm-hmm. with the school you graduated from.
Right.
Or just, you know, pick something that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So, and do that. But let's talk about why you ultimately chose to come with us at Real. At the time that you joined us, we were, and this is a year ago, and around the time that we did the first podcast, we were at 12,000 agents.
Okay.
And I think our company brought and tipped it over 12,000 agents when we brought our 50 agent brokerage over to Real. But now we're at 26,000 agents. So that says something about the company in just 1 year to grow and double its size, right? I think that that's pretty interesting. But, you know, your choice in the beginning was a good one. And let's talk about why you chose to come from another brokerage to mm-hmm. our brokerage. And now that it's a year in, what do you really like about our culture and our community?
So probably around 2022 and 2023, I had been following lots of realtors all over the nation. And I noticed that lots of big time agents with lots of huge teams were moving over to this company called Real.
Gotcha.
And I started seeing it over and over and over again. And I really was leaning heavily about moving over to Real in 2023. Well, in March of 2023, I caught COVID.
Gotcha.
And had it awful and had like a really severe brain fog most of the year. And so even though I was wanting to join, I was thinking about, okay, so that means I got to switch over my billboards and I got to change my business cards. And I was thinking about all the silly little minor things of why I can't join right now, right? Then I noticed Michael Carr, who I had closed a couple of deals with before, and I just really, really liked him.
Right.
So when he moved over, I called him and said, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And then basically I just moved over under him in January 2024, and it's the best decision I've ever made.
Gotcha. And you know, one thing I think we've been able to cultivate too is a culture, but not a culture in the team aspect of things, right? Everybody thinks they need to join a team to have a culture. Or be a lot of these companies are set up like where if you join under the right person, you get all of the coaching and the this and the that. But how we've set it up in our groups and stuff like that is we've set it up more as a group, whereas it's a group of top producers that are interested in helping each other grow our own businesses. And it's not like you joined under the right downline or network or whatever, and you have the right coaching and everything else. But the way we do it and we set it up, we call it the grind group is our group. And it's just a group of agents, top agents that want to bring something to the table. Now we're not in the same network or the same downline or whatever you call it, but we're just here to keep each other and encourage each other like locally. So I wanted to kind of explain how that works and how we've got it all set up, because I think it's interesting. And you see agents and you're like, man, they would benefit from coming to a model like this because they want to be part of, I feel like realtors right now more than anything, like they want to be part of something, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be part of something that's got some good energy, that's got some motivation, some forward momentum, but they also want to be part of people who are absolutely on fire for the real estate business. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know what it was about this model when I came over here, but I feel like I'm just like on fire right now from my real estate business.
Right.
And that fire, you light other people with it mm-hmm. when you've got that passion for what you're doing.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I'm all about encouraging agents. You don't have to come to this brokerage to get the encouragement.
Right.
I'm just steady putting out content and information and trying to encourage agents.
Yeah.
So let's talk about encouraging agents and everything else. We got a good history of your backstory and where you came from and how you set your business up. But let's talk about like being a team player. Let's talk about what you're doing to help other agents and how you operate in your business right now.
So I fully believe that, I mean, as an educator, I always believed in helping other people and always learning. And I believe too that some days it's hard to be kind, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to see the same people over and over again. So appraisers and inspectors and lenders and other realtors are so important in getting a transaction closed. But also, you're going to see those same people over and over and over again. So I think, you know, you just have to be really cognizant about your behavior and your tone and different things, because being a team player goes a long way. You know, I mean, I'm friendly with almost every inspector, every appraiser, every closing attorney, and they know that. And so because of that, when an issue occurs, they are going to absolutely bend over backwards to help me, because they know I've done everything before I call them.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very big on being proactive and heading off problems along the way. But I always say, when I hear other people complaining about problems, listen, if you didn't have a problem, that means you don't have any business.
Yeah.
Our job is to solve problems every day of the week, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, bring on the problems, because that just means the business is rolling.
Yeah, that means I'm making more money.
That's
yeah,
right.
You want to make more money, solve more problems.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So let's talk about your morning routine. I think this is a big part of your success and your consistency, and you've done well over the last couple of years. So talk to us a little bit about your morning routine and how that sets you apart from other agents.
Okay. So I believe no matter where I am, I believe that exercise first thing in the morning is what's going to keep me focused, keep me sane, keep me mentally in check. So every single morning, sometime between 5 and 6, I'm up and I'm outside getting fresh air, whether it's raining, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether it's humid, whatever, and I'm exercising. And then after I exercise, I'm journaling, which means I'm just journaling about the things that I'm grateful for. There's always something to be grateful and thankful for. And so I think if you begin your day, of course, in prayer and being grateful and thankful for all the things that you have. Because listen, we're always going to have problems, but there's always going to be things to be grateful for. So no matter where I am, if I'm on vacation, no matter where I am, I'm finding a place to walk outside. And sometimes people say, oh, be careful. Listen, I'm going to be safe about it, but I don't care if I'm in New Orleans. I'm going walking in the morning.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So wherever I am, I'm going, and I'm going to see the sunrise.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start the day grateful and thankful and just all the things.
Yeah, I love that. And we were in Vegas, right? And you were like, Jamie, you come and walk with me every morning or whatever. So I'm walking here. I am walking with you or whatever. And you're power walking, right? And you're like 100 feet in front of me. I'm like, Darla, hey, man. We were walking around the sphere and stuff like that. And I'm like joking and everything else. So that was just awesome. Part of this model gives you the opportunity to help other realtors, right?
For sure.
So any realtors who are listening to this, you know, it gives you the opportunity to partner with you and let you be able to give some encouragement to them, right?
Right. It's beneficial that I was a teacher in my previous life, because I just love helping and love educating. And of course, anybody that ever wants to be on my team. I mean, when people call me and want to join under me, it's not a team per se, but you're under me, so of course I would be your mentor. The first question I always say is, do you genuinely love people?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, I don't want you as part of my team.
Yeah.
You have to love people and believe that genuinely people are good. Sometimes good people make bad decisions, but most people are good, and you have to believe that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And they have to be hungry, right? I mean, I heard a stat the other day that 80% of all realtors who enter the business will turn in their license or not renew their license after 2 years. I was like, that was a crazy stat, right?
Yeah.
But it just shows you how much work it takes.
Right.
And then it makes sense when you think about the people who do the majority of the business in our world, right? Is the top, say, 20% of the people do the majority of the business in our world,
right?
Which when I heard that stat, I was like, dang, that's crazy. But if you're a new agent, let's just say you're a brand new agent, and really at the core of our podcast is what we're trying to do is encourage both new agents and experienced agents. But let's just say you're a brand new agent and you're thinking about getting into the business, or maybe you've just gotten into the business and you're looking for some advice from a seasoned professional, 6 years in the business, hundreds of transactions at this point. A lot of success. What would you tell that new agent getting into the business, how they would actually be able to generate business for themselves and make it past the second year?
Right. Well, I would say, listen, my first year in real estate, I made negative $2,000. So it would have been easy for me to quit, right? I had every credit card maxed out, but I was never going to quit because I knew eventually I would be successful. So you have to remember that the first year, you're probably going to be poor. And that's okay, because the next year and the next year and the next year, if you stick with it, it's going to continue to grow. But you also have to be willing to get out there and make sure everyone knows you're in the business to buy and sell real estate. And you can't be shy about it. You just got to get out there and tell. And listen, for some people love door knocking. Some people like sending out mailers. Some people like calling. You have to figure out what works for you. I was never going to door knock, was never going to cold call, was never going to mail out crap. I knew that about myself. And when I start something, I'm going to do it full force. So I knew I could easily do videos.
Right.
I could do videos. And I knew it was something I was going to do every day and I was going to do well at it. And I would hate to go back and watch my first 10 videos. They were probably terrible.
Right.
But here's a suggestion. Don't ever go back and watch your videos. Because every time you do them, they're going to get better.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
But no one wants to hear their own voice.
Yeah.
So you just have to figure out what you're good at.
Right.
And go all in at it. If you love going knock on people's doors, go knock on people's doors. If you like calling people, call people. But figure out what's one or two things that you're great at and you're not going to quit doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot of realtors are like, they'll do like the squirrel, you know, like, oh, I see that, I'm going to do that. Or I see this, I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to try YouTube, or I'm going to try Instagram, or I'm going to try door knocking, or maybe I'll make a couple calls, right, or maybe I'll do a live video or whatever. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, they fly all around the thing. Yes. The community's like, what is this guy even doing, right, or girl even doing? And like, they're doing everything to try to do it, but they don't have like a real plan.
That's right.
And you can never get that compounding in your business if you don't do those things consistently in your business to have consistent business. If you're going to do one thing here, one thing there, one thing here, one thing there, the community's going to be like, yeah, what is she or he trying to do right now?
And like, I would also say, listen, even though it's good and I watch lots of people and I listen to lots of podcasts and I listen and I read lots of books and I do all the things, you have to be who you truly and authentically are. Don't try to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah,
I am assertive and I am sometimes bossy, and that's me. And listen, I'm not going to attract every client, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to attract the clients that are attracted to me, and those are the people that I want to be my clients, right?
Yeah.
So be exactly who you are. Maybe a more professional version of who you really are if you're not very professional, because you want to be professional, right?
Yeah.
But be who you are, and just go all in and do it.
Yeah, I love that. Well, look, we're going to have you say one more little encouraging word to realtors right now. Let's just say this realtor has been in the business for a little while. Let's just say they had a slow 2024. They need to get some momentum sparked, get some good things going. What's the one thing or couple things that they can do to just really kickstart their 2025 and move the needle forward? And then we'll close it out, because we whipped through 30 minutes already. And I want to give you one more chance to give a realtor who had had a tough year in 2024 and is looking to kill it in 2025. What are you telling that realtor right now?
Okay, well, sometimes I hear people say, and actually more times than not, I hear people saying, I don't want to be on social media because I don't want people to know my business. If you don't want people to know your business, you're in the wrong business, right? Because I want people to know exactly who I am, because when they call me, they feel comfortable with me. They feel like they know me already, and that's the best kind of clients I'm going to get, right? So I win the listing before I arrive. You want to win the listing before you arrive by being you, getting out on social media, which is a free platform, and making sure people know who you are. To me, that's crucial.
Yeah.
You know, just be who you are, get out there and be everywhere. Everyone's on social media.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
That's the easiest, quickest, freest way to get clients.
What I like about what you're doing, and I see your live videos all the time, is you're doing it every single day or the majority
except
of
Sundays.
Every.
Yeah. Pretty much every day except Sundays.
So, I mean, you're doing it consistently. It's not like Darla got all excited and got dressed one day and just decided to do one video that changed the world. It's not like that. And
no.
I think realtors kind of get in that mindset where they think, oh, I'm just going to do this one thing this one time and it's going to work for me and I'm going to have endless business. It's the one thing that you do consistently 250 days a year that you're like, okay, man, this they're seeing me. They're seeing me. They're seeing my face. You know, my advice to realtors is like, hey, your back's up against the wall. You need to make a move. What are you doing consistently every day to generate business? Like you said, social media, if you're okay with being on video, even if you're not okay with being on video, do a daily reel on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to your people.
Just find your way. Like, find your way that's going to work, that you're going to do it consistently. Find your way. If you're good at TikTok, use TikTok. If you're good at Instagram, use Instagram. If you're good at Facebook, pick one platform and be great at it. I would not try to be great at every platform. Pick one platform and be amazing at it.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you'll have consistent business. And
mm-hmm.
that's the thing that I don't think a lot of people want to understand is that they do everything and then they don't end up getting anything because they try to do everything. So anyway, but I really appreciate you, Darla. And it's been an absolute pleasure to be in the same group and the same network as you. And you're so inspiring. And I'm constantly using some of the strategies that you have to improve my own business. And I really appreciate you being our first guest and inspiring the whole thing and the whole podcast with your amazing story. So thanks again for being on our 51st podcast. And
thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, sometime. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So excited to have you guys and so excited to be a part of it every week and get to be in your ears and just a part of your daily week. So guys, if we can ever do anything for you, I'll put Darla's contact information in the podcast. If I can ever do anything for you, please reach out. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.